very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that God let us be made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty.
This hour's segment of the Wake Up Call is sponsored by Committee to Elect Claire McCaskill, Sandra Query, Treasurer.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Wake Up Call this morning. And we are going to continue, as we do, with our Monday conversations with Claire McCaskill, Auditor Claire McCaskill, who is, looks like after that last debate, is going to be our next United States Senator. And Claire is joining us on the road. Claire, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How do you feel?
You know, I feel pretty good. That was a little scary. A lot of pressure. You know, meet the press is not something that you have to worry about doing every day. But I feel pretty good about it. I think we were able to point out some real differences, and I don't want to do it again next week, but I feel good about it.
I'm looking at this article coming out of the Kansas City Wire saying that a new poll shows that Democratic Senate challenger Claire McCaskill has a slight lead, favored by 48% compared with 45% with talent. In a statistical dead heat, that's good news, isn't it?
It is really good news. I mean, we feel great about where we are right now. But, you know, honestly, Liz, this is really not so much about the polling for this last 4 weeks. It's about energizing people out there that we can make a difference. It's about getting people out to vote that do not appreciate President Bush, that do not approve of the policies of this administration. This is about energy. This is about people feeling that they can make a difference if they get out and work. We need volunteers. We need people talking about this race. I really, really want to emphasize that, you know, all the TV commercials and all the radio commercials and all that, really the thing that matters is people knowing they can make a difference, that we do not have to have these kinds of policies, this kind of hurtful practices in Missouri, in America, if they'll turn out and vote, and I'll go out there and fight for them.
And I want to start with one of the issues that Tim Russert began yesterday morning, with the issue of the Mark Foley case. And I would like for you to talk to us about what you believe that this says about the culture in Washington D.C. with the current majority, and also if you could, for those of us that were unable to see the debate, talk to us about the response from Jim Talent on this very important issue.
Well, Tim Russert opened the show by asking both of us about the Mark Foley scandal. And as people know, this is it has now come out that this congressman had been making inappropriate advances towards young 15- and 16-year-old pages. And now we know, going back as 3 or 4 years ago, some of the people in power knew that he had actually shown up drunk at the Pages dormitory, that there had been emails going to Pages over a year ago they knew about. And instead of, you know, this is a 50-some-year-old man who is actually asking a 16-year-old boy for his picture over the Internet. And when they found out about it, they didn't tell the Democrat on the Page Committee. They didn't call the Ethics Committee. They didn't call the authorities. They went to the chairman of the campaign committee to tell him. So their first reaction was, well, let's make sure that we cover our bases, that we don't lose the seat. It's about arrogance of power. It's about holding on to power instead of doing the right thing. And so we were both asked whether Hastert should resign, the Speaker of the House. I said yes. Jim Talent said, well, we need to wait and see, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. And, you know, he was very, he wasn't definite about what was the right thing to do. I mean, yes, should there be an investigation, but clearly an investigation is not necessary at this point because we know that the Speaker's office knew this email had occurred.
If a teacher,
you know, the head of the page board knew these emails had occurred, and they did nothing.
If a teacher had reported to a principal what was reported to Hastert, and the principal did nothing, would the principal still have that job? Of course not.
No,
of course not. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This portion of the Wake Up Call is sponsored by the Committee to Elect Claire McCaskill, Sandra Querrey, Treasurer.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
The people, the issues affecting your life. Right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This portion of the Wake Up Call is sponsored by the Committee to Elect Claire McCaskill, Sandra Querrey, Treasurer.
Hey, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to this hour. This is Liz Brown, and I am talking to Claire McCaskill. She's joining us on the road after the Meet the Press debate with Jim Talent. And, Claire, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tim Russert talked about the Mark Foley issue, but he also talked about another startling thing. And I was saying this off the air. I really think, Claire, that everybody in the state of Missouri really needs to get a copy, a DVD copy of that debate, because it was startling how unprepared, how bumbling, how not statesmanlike, and how illiterate Jim Talent was on the issues. And I'm not saying that simply because I'm partisan on this. I was stunned. He did not look to me like a person that had been sitting in the United States Senate chair for as long as he has.
Well, I hope everybody gets a chance to watch it. It is available on the website. You can watch it on the NBC News. If you just Google Meet the Press, you can go to the site and you can watch the debate. It'll be, it's there, and by the way, it streams very effectively, so it's not, you know, it's so many times when you try to stream, it, you know, jumps and starts. It they do a very good job on that website. So I hope people watch it. There will be another debate, a televised debate, Wednesday night in St. Louis.
On Channel 5.
On Channel 5,
mm-hmm.
And so...
At 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. So people in St. Louis can... Now, it won't be the same format. It'll be a little harder for Jim. I mean, it'll be easier for Jim because he'll be able to jump around. There won't be a moderator like Tim Russert. I mean, as you noticed, he kept wanting to give one of his speeches, mm-hmm. and Russert wouldn't let him. But he'll be able to do that Wednesday night. So it won't be Tim Russert tying when you're being interviewed by Tim Russert, you don't get to wander off the reservation because he brings you right back.
Not especially if he doesn't want you to wander off. Especially
right.
If he doesn't want you to. And that brings us to the issue of the stem cell piece. I was astounded to hear your opponent say that this is about cloning. When the legislation
right.
that talked to us about that. Does the legislation deal with
Yeah, it is, you know, when people go into the ballot booth, in November, they will realize that in the very first sentence of this initiative, it strictly prohibits human cloning. It is about making sure that we have an ethical framework, for this important research. But let me underline important research. I mean, this is about curing sickle cell and juvenile diabetes and ALS and Parkinson's and macular degeneration and letting people walk that have been in wheelchairs from traumatic injuries that have severed their spinal cords. I mean, this really is about hope, and it is about healing the sick. And I thought it was, you know, I mean, this is a group of cells in a petri dish. And this is not about cloning a human being, and it is, frankly, we need the legislation to make sure that we can prohibit cloning human beings.
So the response from your opponent was what?
He was that he thought that it was going to be allowing cloning, and which, of course, it's not. So it was kind of confusing.
Now, one of the other issues that Tim Russert raised on the show that I just kind of want to do a Monday morning quarterbacking on the show, but one of the other issues was the issue of partial birth abortions. Talk to us about your position on that.
Well, I am opposed to partial birth abortion within the constitutional framework we currently have, and I have consistently held that position, and you know, it is. It is not something that you should ever be able to receive on demand. And so, the commercials that Talent is running, that Senator Talent is running, are inaccurate about my position on partial birth abortion.
What is that?
As I said, Liz, the most important thing we need to be doing about abortion is we need to make sure that it's safe and it's legal and it's rare, and that we need to work on preventing. And one of the things that's so frustrating to me about the same people who say they are so opposed to abortion, they keep cutting the funds for health care for poor women. And so what they're doing is they're making it more difficult for women to get family planning, to get contraceptives. And, you know, if you don't have contraceptives, then that's when unwanted pregnancies occur, and that's when abortions occur. And, if we want to really do something about preventing abortions, we need to fund health care for all women. And we need to make sure that all women have access to family planning and contraceptive methods of avoiding pregnancy. And that's what's so, it just doesn't make any sense. It just defies common sense.
Well, you say that we do this by funding health care for all women. What's your plan for that?
Well, we have a pretty comprehensive plan. First, we've got to quit cutting Medicaid. Senator Talent has cut Medicaid 19 times. We need to make sure that we fund the Children's Insurance Program, the CHIPS program. We need to make sure that we have community health centers in all communities that are available for on a proactive, preventative basis with family planning on a sliding scale with the ability to pay. And we need to get doctors and nurses to work in those clinics by waiving some of their debt load from college so that they could spend some time in health facilities that are helping people that can't afford health insurance, in return for making their debt load not quite as heavy coming out of medical school and nursing school. And then we need to work on making sure everybody has health insurance in America. Our companies are having difficulty competing globally because in other nations, they're not having to swallow the cost of health care. So our goods are more expensive because many of our companies are offering health care, and that makes the cost of production of the goods higher, which makes it difficult for them to compete globally. So it's even important for our economy that we get a handle on this health insurance thing. Under the Bush administration, we've added 170,000 uninsured Missourians. Between 600 and 700,000, people don't have, we have 47 million in America that don't have health insurance now. These numbers have gone up. They have done nothing to stem this tide, and Senator Talent has been talking about it now for 14 years.
One of the last things that Talent said on the debate was that, "I've made the system work for Missouri." How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't think he's listening to the same Missourians I'm listening to. I have spent time in the neighborhoods. I've been spent time out in rural Missouri. I've spent time all over the state, and people are hurting. People are not getting ahead. They feel like they're on a treadmill. Whatever little salary increases or wage increases they've gotten has been eaten up by gas prices or by health insurance. There really hasn't been a meaningful increase in their wages or salaries under this administration. I don't think that most Missourians feel like Washington is working for them. And if they do feel that way, I haven't met them. I haven't met them, Liz.
And that's to me when I talked about the performance of or the message that came from Jim Talent as a result of his participation in that debate. It was kind of shocking to hear someone saying that I've made the system work for Missouri when we don't hear. I don't know anybody that can say that there are Missourians that will say that they are better off today than they were at any other point. I think that I would make the point that most Missourians feel that they're worse off than they've ever been.
Well, I think that's right. I think that every time the president says, the economy is roaring and the economy is doing so well, I think he loses votes for Republicans because bottom line is this administration has been about Wall Street and not about Main Street. Oh, yeah, there's some people who made a lot more money under President Bush and Jim Talent. They sit in boardrooms. They're CEOs of great big corporations. They're very wealthy, wealthy people. They're not the people that I want to fight for. They're not the people that I've met every day during the last year while I've worked to try to demonstrate my ability to be the United States Senator from Missouri. The people I've met, they are not better off, and Washington is not working for them. And they are anxious about their pensions, about their Social Security, about the cost of their doctors and their medicine. They're anxious about sending their kids to college. They're anxious about their credit card bills and whether they can figure out a way to pay on their credit card bills. They're very anxious, and I want to go out there and make sure that we hold on to the American dream for them, and that is have a middle class and that people believe they can do better and that there is hope to grab that next rung on the ladder. And that's just not going on now, Liz. This is about a government for the greedy and the powerful, not about a government for real people. Senator Talent, I'll tell you my favorite part of the debate was the part of the debate where they asked him if President Bush was a great president.
And he couldn't bring himself to say it. He didn't think, the question wasn't, do you think he's the greatest president ever in the history of presidentdom? He asked him if he was the greatest president, or if he was a great president. And he couldn't bring himself to say it out of his mouth. That's not good.
No, especially when he votes. I mean, that's what I said. I said it's really something. To understand that Senator Talent votes with the president 94% of the time, but can't call him a great president.
Wow.
Well, what does that say about what does that say about Jim Talent's vote?
Wow.
It's amazing.
There's one quick thing that I want to get to here, because this is a word that is not used often enough, and in some cases not used often at all. We hear people talking about, I want to help the middle class. We hear people talking about, I want to help, you know, the rich have suffered enough, and we need to help them some more. But what about poor people? Can we say the P word? Can we come back and have a conversation about the P word, about poor people, and what would be done under a Claire McCaskill Senate?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. When we come back, we will be talking, continuing our conversation with Claire McCaskill. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park and 270. Look for no problems report there. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor through Mason Road. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 at Butler and 270. Look for congestion going on there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road. Look for heavy volume in pockets, then moving well in many stretches. Westbound 270 to 367 and 170, look for no problems report. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic at this hour. The eastbound ramp to southbound Tudor is closed as they're doing some deck work. Westbound East Bridge is moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Westbound 5570 looks good onto the Poplar Street Bridge. However, you can see pockets are slow, and also westbound Kingbridge traffic is a little slow at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Right now at Napa, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $2.39 a quart. Plus, buy 6 quarts and get $6 mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high in the upper 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the upper 60s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 53. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
You in need of financial information that can change your life? Then you need to listen to the Pastor's Hour to Empower each and every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on WGNU. Hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Robani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown. It's designed to provide solutions to the needs of the people, the church, pastors, seniors, youth, and the community at large. Remember, your life does have value. All you need to do is unlock the potential. Find out how on the Pastor's Hour to Empower every Tuesday night at 8 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, This portion of the wake-up call is sponsored by Citizens to Elect Claire McCaskill, Sandra Query, Treasurer.
Welcome back to the wake-up call this morning. I'm having a conversation with Claire McCaskill. She's on the road joining us the morning after the night before the debates on Channel 5 on Meet the Press at NBC with Tim Russert. Claire, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about poor people. What's the plan for those of us who are not as economic, could not even consider ourselves in the middle class?
Well, that's where this administration has been, frankly, the ugliest. If you look at Medicaid, we have really Jim Talent has worked in symphony with, in concert with Governor Blunt in terms of cutting Medicaid. Frankly, let's think what happened there. When Governor Blunt said, I'm going to cut Medicaid and I'm going to send $700 million of federal money back to Washington, because people need to realize the Medicaid program is funded primarily with federal dollars, not state dollars. So the money that was cut out of Medicaid was about between $250 and $300 million of state money. But then it was like $700 million of federal money that was given up. When we took that state money away, we lost the matching money from the federal government, and it was sent back to Washington. Now, I got to tell you, Liz, if I'm the senator and the governor in Missouri is about to send back $700 million that should be going to help health care for people who are too poor to buy health insurance in Missouri, I don't stay quiet. And you know what he said at the time? He said, I don't comment on state issues.
Mm.
Well, you know, these are people's lives. Of course you comment. Of course you fight for them. And then, of course, he's voted to cut Medicaid 19 different times. He's voted to eliminate the Department of Education. We all know that the key to helping those who have little is to make sure they have a good education. That's what we do in America. That's how you get a shot. That's how you escape poverty. Senator Talent voted to eliminate the Department of Education. He actually sponsored a bill to cut off any welfare benefits to any unwed mother.
And this is the man who was asked the question in the debate about when life begins. And he said that life begins at conception, and he didn't give an answer of which one he would save, the petri dish or the three-year-old child. But this is the person that defines himself as being about life, but he did that?
He did that. He sponsored a bill to cut off food stamps, any kind of help whatsoever, to any woman who was pregnant that was not married. Now, I don't know if I could find a better example of someone who doesn't get it, who doesn't understand what many women, particularly women in poverty, are going through, poor women who are pregnant. You talk about putting a woman in a desperate situation. It sends chills down my back to think that somebody would do that.
And if you compare that to the rich have suffered enough philosophy of Jim Talent in terms of the breaks that he has given to those that have already that have enormous amounts of money, how do we compare and contrast that?
Well, I mean, he is very much in favor of all of the tax cuts that go primarily to the wealthiest Missourians. This has all been about, taking care of those at the top. And, you know, they're really, he just has a very bad record when it comes to empowering people, to helping people who need help. Frankly, I think that's the most important part of the job. You know, the rich people, it's not like they need a lot of help, Liz.
No, they do not.
You know, it's not like government's there. Government should stay out of a lot of things, but we need to make sure government is helping the most vulnerable.
Well, when we talk about the tax cuts that have been given, I go back to the last statement that Jim Talent made in the debate last night that I've made, and his statement was, I've made the system work for Missouri. Well, quite frankly, most of the people, well, let me ask you the question, where were most of the people that benefited from the tax cut? Were they from Missouri, or were they from every place else but Missouri?
Well, most of the people that benefited the most from the tax cut don't live in Missouri.
So there you go. So getting back to the statement, I've made the system work for Missouri. He didn't even make the benefits for the wealthy work for Missouri.
Well, and frankly, one of the reasons that we don't have more wealthy people in Missouri is that we need to work on our public education system. And we need to make sure that we're promoting public education and funding public education. And education is so key. Making sure that our schools have the right books and that our teachers are trained and that they're excited about being in the classroom and that they are motivating our children and that our children are safe at school. All of these things are incredibly important. The health and education of people that don't have much should be at the very top of any U.S. senator's list. It won't be on mine.
And let me get to a caller or two before we let you go here, Claire. Martha, you have a question for Claire McCaskill.
Oh, yes. Good morning to you both. I saw you on C-SPAN, and I beat the press and yesterday in the Post-Dispatch. I'm sure you read Sylvester column. But here's Clara. When you get to Congress, being a woman, and you know you understand about jobs, and I'm driving around the city, and I'm not seeing enough African-American women and men work on these jobs, like in St. Louis County out here on Jennings and Kinlan and Metrolink. Also, you're getting ready for the 64 and 40.
Right.
We need some African-Americans. So when you get that, Clara, you got to be sure that we are working.
Thanks for your call and comment. And that is very, very true. When you drive around and you look at these construction jobs, I know as a woman of African descent, it just breaks my heart driving down the road. I will see white women out there, Claire, and I don't see black folks out there working.
Yeah, we have struggled with this. I've done audits on the MBE participation in the state of Missouri, and frankly, I was the first one to point out that, you know, and we talked about it, frankly, on your show, Liz, that audit. People mm-hmm. can look at that audit on my auditor's website where I looked at how well is the state doing in terms of hiring minority businesses. And it's not good. I mean, they have one contractor that is really has been the bulk of the African-American work, and I'm thrilled that David Stewart and Worldwide Technologies has a huge contract with the state of Missouri, and it's a very successful African-American business. But that one contract can't make up for all the thousands of contracts out there where we have no participation, and particularly it's been a very sore spot for years how the highway department has not done as much as it should do on these highway projects. A lot of the money for these projects come from Washington, D.C. You can rest assured that I will take the same kind of aggressive attitude towards minority participation that I've had in the state of Missouri, and I'll take it to Washington.
1-877-920-WGNU. Well, you know, sitting here listening to the fact that David Stewart has all of the contracts and then seeing him at a Jim Talent fundraiser is problematic. But I suppose that's a conversation for another time. So Claire, we have a couple more minutes here. In terms of the what were you not able to say on Meet the Press that you wanted to say?
Oh, a lot. We weren't able to talk about some of the economic issues at all. We weren't able to talk about what needs to be done as it relates to education and it relates to health care. Some of the things we have had a chance to visit with a little bit about this morning. We haven't had a chance to talk about, some of the really nasty, misrepresenting, twisted ads that Senator Talent is running. I think people see them for what they are, Liz. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think people believe these negative ads?
I think that in a vacuum, some people will believe that, but what we have going on outside of the ads are the constant messages about the culture of corruption that is going on in Washington, D.C. In another time, in another place, I think that some people would buy into it, but given what's going on with the Mark Foley's, given what's going on with the Abramoffs and the lies about the war, there's a question of integrity. And I
right.
think that the Republican Party, as it should be, is struggling mightily with trying to with people believing in their integrity, and I don't see that happening.
Well, it is it's very frustrating, and your listeners need to know, you know, there are different ads being run in the country and in the city, and I know that this ad would offend people in Kansas City and St. Louis, but this is an ad that's being run in rural Missouri, and it's approved by Jim Talent. This comes from his campaign, and in the ad, they actually say the words, Claire McCaskill is a liar and a cheat.
Wow.
It is really startling to me that we have come to that. We're not going to do that, Liz. I mean, I don't care how bad it gets. I'm never going to approve an ad that calls Jim Talent names like that.
Wow.
You know, it's not worth it.
Wow.
It's not worth it.
And it goes back again to the issue, Claire, of credibility. It goes back to the issue of integrity of this party. And, Claire, we have about, I don't know, a dozen or so folks that want to talk to you. Can you stay on for three more minutes, and we'll talk to your mom, and then we'll talk to Ida? Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Three more minutes.
Three more minutes. All right. Thank you. We'll be back.
This portion of the Wake Up Call is sponsored by the Committee to Elect Claire McCaskill, Sandra Quirey, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making a difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Aust, Treasurer.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on.
This portion of the wake-up call is sponsored by Citizens to Elect Claire McCaskill, Sandra Quirey, Treasurer.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm on the line here with Claire McCaskill. She's joining us on the road after the Tim Russert Meet the Press debate. We're going to take two more calls, and then we're going to have to let Claire go, and then we can talk to her mom, who's in the studio here with us this morning. And let me get to this caller, Dee. You have a question for Claire McCaskill.
Yes, I'd like to say congratulations on your success, Claire. Keep reminding the voters that the contract with America, ushered in by the Republican Party, is now in default. Vote accordingly. And good luck to you, Claire.
Claire, are you there?
I am.
Okay, all right.
You know, I think that people, yeah, let's roll back the clock a little bit, Liz, and remember that contract with America. Senator Talent was a soldier for Newt Gingrich. He was part of the Contract with America Brigade. And, you know, I think one of the things that is, you know, frankly, it's almost humorous that the big thing that was part of the contract with America was balancing the budget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people have spent money. You know, let me just give you one number that will give you the enormity of the spending problem. And we're not talking about spending for people here. We're talking about pork projects. There were 1,400 earmarked projects in 1995. In 2005, there were 14,000. Wow. Earmark projects.
Wow. There you go. There you go.
So
and that's why they
is out of control.
And that's why I called it back then the contract on America, because that's exactly what it has turned out to be.
You're right.
Well, one more question. We'll let you go. Roslyn, you have a question for Claire.
Yes. Good morning, Liz. Good morning, Claire. Congratulations,
good morning,
Claire. I wanted to know, would there be anything that you can do about putting dental plan back on Medicaid?
Well, that's a good example of what these folks have done.
Thank
they
you, Roslyn.
They think poor people don't need to have a dentist. That's just some kind of that's gravy or that's extra. And what they're doing is they're taking people with dental problems and they're driving into emergency rooms with impacted and infections and much more serious problems. And, yes, of course I'll fight to get the dental program back in. We're going to have to change governors, too, now.
Yeah, that too.
To do what we need to get done, because the governors have an awful lot of power over what kind of Medicaid plans are offered. But I will do what I can at the federal level and use the stick that we have in terms of federal funding to try to leverage as much changes as we possibly can leverage to get dental help to people who don't have health insurance.
Claire, I want to thank you for joining me on the show. And next week, I'd like to just talk about Iraq. Next week is our Iraq conversation.
Sounds good.
Okay, Claire McCaskill, thank you so much.
Hey, tell my mom hi.
You can tell her hi, too.
Hi, Mom. I love you, Mother.
All right.
See you guys next week.
All
thank
right.
You.
Take care.
Bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We're going to now move the conversation over to Claire's mother, Betty Ann McCaskill. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liz. I've heard nice things about you, and you are nice.
Well, thank you. As you're sitting there listening to your daughter and listening, I there's a temptation to sit here and kind of be a cheerleader about what happened with Claire and the debate yesterday. But you bring more to the table than that. Can you talk to us about concerns that you have, being a lifelong Missourian, born in Missouri, about the issues that are facing our seniors out here? Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. I've spent time with Claire on the RV, mm-hmm. traveling around Missouri, talking mainly about Medicare D,
mm-hmm.
which was a strange, a complicated, ridiculous law passed for the drug companies in order for them to make more money and to make it harder for older folks like me,
mm-hmm.
to get drugs.
And when you talk to people like you, when you talk to seniors, when you're out traveling in the RV, what are they saying to you? What kind of things are you hearing out here in the heartland?
When we first went out, they'd say, "We don't understand this. What can we do?" Well, we had to tell them to sign up, even if it was just for the $12.95 a month plan,
mm-hmm.
because if you didn't get on it, you were going to be penalized from then on by the insurance companies. So you had to get on some plan. So they certainly worked that well in their favor. And these people, they were frightened. They were worried. Some of them were giving up food in order to take their medicine or vice versa. And that's not right in America.
So I say that all the time on the show, that people are having to make these horrible decisions of, do I eat or do I take my medicine? You're talking to people out there that are saying that these are the real decisions that they're making.
Exactly, exactly. And actions speak louder than words. My daughter learned that in the church. She was raised in the church. She watched her grandmother play the organ for 40 years. And I get emotional.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
But actions are taught in the church to speak louder than words, and she was taught that. So I've watched her not only talk about doing good things for older people and for the citizens, but I watched her actions. I was a little upset yesterday with Sylvester Brown's article,
mm-hmm.
because he didn't point out the fact that when Claire had the biggest prosecutor's office in the state,
mm-hmm.
she hired more top African Americans to head divisions in that office. When she went to the auditor's office, she hired more African Americans, not just hired them,
mm-hmm.
put them in top positions. Her deputy is an African American woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is action speaking louder than words. And of course she wants to help people in my age category. I'm only 78, for gosh sakes.
For gosh sakes.
But the idea that people are all talking about this, but they don't do anything. And I've watched Claire do something. She stands in back of her words.
Mm-hmm. And I want to bring in another issue to our conversation, because one of the things that Claire McCaskill was talking about are the ads that are being run. And you mentioned off the air that, you know, that some of them just kind of like drive you nuts because of what they say.
Oh, it's the hardest thing in the world to watch your daughter being called the names that the opposition is calling, Claire. And I've been a hardworking Democrat for now on 56 years, and I have seen lots of campaigns. And this isn't the worst I've seen, mm-hmm. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so hard when it's your child,
mm-hmm.
and you hear people saying things that are absolutely untrue about her and about her family. This can cut deeper and hurt more than anything you can imagine.
And when we talk about the commercials, we have somebody on the line here that, because it's not very often that you see a commercial run and you actually get a chance to talk to the person, because you only are able to believe what you actually see on television. So I have joining me on the line is Ida Shobey. She was in the commercial about stem cells, and she's an African-American woman, and she was talking about stem cell research. Ida, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
And Ida, I want to take a couple of minutes here to have a conversation with you about why you decided to do this commercial. Why was this important for you to talk about stem cell?
Well, it was hard because I have a daughter-in-law who won't even speak to me after I made that. But
really?
You gotta do what you gotta do. And people have been against something ever since time. They was against automobile. They was against vaccination. You know, history starts somewhere.
Mm.
And this is something I believe totally in, that this can help a lot of people. And it's only politics playing games.
And so when you hear someone like a Jim Talent out here saying that this is about the cloning of human beings, this is not what it pretends to be, how do you respond to that, Ida?
I'd like to say to Jim Talent, I hope you never need stem cell, and he looks pretty puny to me. He may need it soon. So, be careful. Mama always said, be careful who you throw stones at.
Mm.
Because
amen.
It might come back to get you.
So do you have? Are you holding out hope, Ida, that stem cell research will be able to help you? Are you holding out hope that, is this an act on your part that is for someone who comes behind you?
My family has a history of diabetes. It's running rapid in the family. And it's so many things that stem cell can be used for. And why is it such a big issue? Why don't they say, hey, this is for Americans who need help? Why do we have to put this on a ballot? Why? I don't get any of this. It's crazy. It's rich against poor again.
Why do you say that? Why is this rich against poor?
Because if it was just for the rich people, I bet you if George Bush family needed stem cell, we'd have it.
So how Amen. Did you how did you come to come in this commercial, be in this commercial?
I met Claire right after I got diagnosed with Parkinson's. She came here, and I wanted to help, and I went up and I told her I'd like to help her, but I have Parkinson's. I can't talk like I should, and she hugged me and told me if there's anything she can do for me, let her know. So I started volunteering at the Democrat headquarters, and, you know, everybody can do something. If you can't walk, you can talk. there is something everybody can do. And if black people don't get up and start fighting and giving something back, we're the ones going to be in trouble.
All right. Now, Ida, I want to thank you so much for taking time to join us on the show this morning. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. It's nice talking to you.
It's lovely talking to you. Take care now.
Okay.
And I want to thank you, too, Betty Ann McCaskill. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the show.
It's been my pleasure. I got to hear one of the people that I like to hear the most, my daughter, for quite a while.
There you go.
Got to meet you.
There you go.
And hear that beautiful Ida.
And the number is 918-VOTE. If people want to call and get some yard signs, get involved, participate, 918-VOTE. Thank you all very much. We'll be back in the next hour with Akbar Muhammad. Stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made.
This portion of the wake-up call has been sponsored by the Committee to Elect Claire McCaskill, Sandra Cleary, Treasurer.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Revolution in the air, feel me, brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizens. And so we say to all in this nation.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The world is waking up to a big announcement from one of its most secretive governments. North Korea says it's tested a nuclear device. More from ABC's Martha Raddatz at the White House.
The test was at about 9:36 Eastern Standard Time last night. The president was told less than half an hour later. It was the equivalent of a 4.2 magnitude earthquake. North Korea is now the eighth nation in the nuclear club, but by far the most unstable nation ever in this nuclear club.
ABC's Jonathan Carl at the Pentagon says the test removes any doubt that North Korea is a nuclear power.
The nightmare scenario for the United States is that North Korea figures out how to put a nuclear device on a missile capable of hitting the United States. There's no indication they're there yet, but they're clearly working on it. And officials say that a more immediate concern would be that North Korea could sell its nuclear technology to another country or a terrorist organization.
The UN Security Council has called an emergency session. Member nations meet in about a half an hour from now.
We're probably being overly cautious, but better safe than sorry.
After the big spinach recall, you probably wouldn't blame Bob Nunez and his company from issuing its own recall. This time it's over lettuce that could possibly be contaminated with E. coli. It involves Foxy brand lettuce that was sold in 7 Western states. Republicans are trying to present a united front on the Mark Foley scandal. The Washington Post today, meanwhile, says a GOP congressman first confronted Foley about his emails in the year 2000. How low can they go? The latest Lundberg survey says the price of gas is down 14 cents over the past 2 weeks to an average about $2.28 a gallon. Then again, what goes down eventually must come up, and that is also the case of gas. Lundberg says we've probably seen the last of the lower prices. This is ABC News.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. The Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy 4 select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30-06.
It's the Office Depot 20th anniversary event, and we have great deals to celebrate. This week only, we have our lowest prices ever on select Brother business machines. These deals won't last long, so hurry in to the Office Depot 20th anniversary event. Come in, celebrate, and save. While supplies last, assortment may vary by location.
Sales at this auction went where no Star Trek bidding has gone before. ABC's Louis Schiavone has a story.
Space, the final frontier.
A three-day auction of over 1,000 Star Trek items yielded over $7 million at Christie's. Fans of the series snapped up everything from set furniture to Vulcaneers.
Most illogical.
Dr. McCoy's spacesuit from the Tholian Web episode went for $144,000.
I'm a doctor, not an escalator.
A replica of Captain James T. Kirk's chair on the bridge went for $62,000. But the hottest item was a Starship Enterprise model seen in the pilot and title sequences that sold for more than $500,000. Louise Schiavone, ABC News.
This is a day off for many kids and government workers. Columbus Day is a federal holiday. There's no mail delivery and the banks are closed, but state, county, and local governments set their own rules, so some take the days off, some don't. Same with schools. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom. This WGNU News Update is brought to you by the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is back in the U.S. after a trip to the Middle East. Durbin visited with American troops and Afghani officials during a visit to Afghanistan last week. Durbin also visited Iraq and says the war in Afghanistan is different from the war in Iraq.
Afghanistan has been around for centuries. There's an Afghan identity. The people there have pushed out the Soviets, and really have a fierce national feeling beyond their tribal loyalties. The same is not true in Iraq, a relatively new country that is still struggling for national identity.
Durbin says he came home with a much more positive feeling about Afghanistan's future and its people's desire to rid the country of terrorist elements. In other news, St. Louis area students are taking part in a new initiative designed to get them, their parents, and teachers in better shape. Alicia Moog-Stahlberg, the executive director of Action for Healthy Kids, says Game On, the ultimate wellness challenge, is an activity course that teaches healthy eating habits and encourages physical activity.
What kids learn at schools during their childhood can transfer to lifelong behavior. So that's why it's so important that we really are giving kids the opportunity to foster the development of these healthy habits in nutrition and physical activity.
Statistics show that more than 12% of Missouri students are overweight and less than 50% of students take a physical education course during the school week. Meanwhile, a campaign is underway to improve dogs' lives. Steps to More Play is designed to encourage pet owners to walk their dogs more. Dr. Bernadine Cruz of Laguna Hills Animal Hospital in California says pet pedometers are a good way to measure your dog's activity. You can get a free pet pedometer online at stepstoplaymore.com. St. Louis was ranked in the top 10 last year for dog parks. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Ultimate Fighting Championship. Tomorrow night on Spike TV, the greatest rivalry in UFC history will be settled once and for all. Ortiz versus Shamrock, the final chapter, live tomorrow night at 7 on Spike TV. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Eastbound 78K and or T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at 367, 170, no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44, it is heavy. Westbound 40 from Clayton Skinker to Hanley, look for slow traffic going on there as well. Westbound Eastbridge is moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect delays from mid-span all the way in. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some delays at the top of the ramp there. And northbound 141 at Gravois, there's an accident. It's been cleared. There may still be some delays. Eastbound 40 is heavy between Timberlake and Mason. Then again from Ballas through Clayton Warson. And finally Hanley through Bellevue due to low sun glare. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary 3-day, 2-nights hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s today. For this evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-50s. For Tuesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers with a high in the upper 60s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high in the lower 60s. Currently, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 52 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. From our discussion with Claire McCaskill, I now have joining me in the studio Akbar Muhammad. Akbar, this is going to be an international discussion. Akbar, good morning, and it's good to have you here.
Good morning, and I have to say to all of our brothers and sisters who are fasting during Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak and Assalamu Alaikum. It means blessed Ramadan, Liz.
Good.
And, you know, we're into the 16th day of our fast now. Mm. And the fast usually runs about 30 days. So, but thank you very much for having me here.
It's a pleasure. So what is your title now? I mean, is it this? What do we refer to you as now?
International Representative of Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam.
Okay. All right. Because I wanted I know that you took a few minutes last week to quickly bring us up to speed, but I'd like for you to continue that conversation for a minute for those that may not have had a chance to hear you last week to talk about the state of Minister Louis Farrakhan and where the nation is at this very important point.
Yes. Well, the minister has some very serious health challenges. And he wrote a letter that appeared in the Final Call for 2 weeks, our national paper. And then, quite naturally, the press picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they picked it up, and he talked about the seriousness of his illness.
It was very graphic and very, very, very straightforward.
And most of us, you know, we kind of hesitated whether he was going to give that much detail, but he said it's better for me to let the public know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us clearly, those of us who speak for him around the country, that you can't go on the radio saying that the minister's getting better, he's mm-hmm. doing fine. You have to tell him the truth of the matter. I have good days and bad days,
mm-hmm.
and that this is a serious situation for me. It's the only way that he would back up from the day-to-day mm-hmm. operations of the nation. And his commitment and his love for black folks, he wants to be in the center of that. But he said to me, as I repeated, I think on your show, I've been doing so many around the country, but in that hospital room at Howard University, after he went down, they had to put him under and look at him. And he came back to the room when he came to and he said, Akbar, he said, I'm no good to myself, my family, the Nation of Islam, or the greater community that loves me if I don't take the time to take care of my health now.
Mm-hmm.
More surgery is not an option at this point, and the only way the doctor said that he has a chance to improve is that he backs up and he rests. And rest is not only the tremendous amount of flying that he does, appointments, speaking. You know, as I said,
mm-hmm.
his short speeches are 2 hours. The average one is three. And that kind of schedule, I mean, it's a tremendous schedule that he has to back up from that. And then there's also the mental stress, you know, a head of state who's handling things. And, you know, we have an organization where we have him as the charismatic leader at the center, but also he's the cement.
Mm-hmm.
that holds the nation together. And when he has to back up from that, it's a task, number one, for him to back up. Because
how do you do that?
That's right, because even right now, the amount of people that he's talking to on the phone and that we have been at, there are certain people who have his fax number at the farm where he's resting. We send them faxes. So the mental, the involving your mind,
because rest isn't simply letting your body rest. You have to let your mind rest, too.
Absolutely.
Because your mind, the state of your mind determines, in large part, the state of your body.
Yes.
You know, so that's going to be a huge challenge. That's going to be a huge, huge, huge challenge. We have to take a break. I'm talking to Akbar Muhammad. Stay with us. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Ost.
Get your annual flu vaccination at any of several local clinics. Dates include Thursday from 8:30 to 4 at the Bethesda Dilworth on Big Bend, Friday from 8:30 to 4 at Holman Middle School in St. Anne, Tuesday, October 17th from 8:30 to 4 at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church on Lindbergh, Wednesday, October 18th from 8:30 to 4 at Florissant Presbyterian Church, and Thursday, October 19th from 8:30 to 4 at Bethesda Meadow in Ellisville. Pneumonia vaccinations will also be available at these locations. News to you from WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. Learn how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. That's Design 411 at noon, Wednesdays on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. And my guest of this hour is Akbar Muhammad. Akbar, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz.
And we're talking about the state of Minister Farrakhan and the rest that he has to make himself do, and all the people around him have got to let him do that, and then
right.
he's got to allow them to let him do that. So it's a process,
yes,
I imagine.
And I can tell you how many grandchildren Minister Farrakhan has. He has 32 grandchildren,
wow.
and he has great-grandchildren, a number I don't know. But all, quite naturally, his grandchildren and his children, they feel this special access, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's their grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to handle that
mm-hmm.
because the kind of person he is, all of his children and his grandchildren, they have immediate access to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you imagine, that's like a whole group there, you know, that's like 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
That
that's another company.
That's,
I mean, that
that's right.
mean people that have immediate access to you, right?
Absolutely. So the challenge, Liz, as, you know, we're talking, is to get people to take on responsibility and back up for things that we put on his plate. The tremendous amount of mail that he gets, and international mail,
mm-hmm.
which will be my area, I'll be handling for him. These are letters going directly to him,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the prison mail,
mm-hmm.
prisoners who write to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things that was handled at his office will be pushed to the what we call the council.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Executive Council. It comes from, in Islam, we have Shura Council. That's where people sit and make collective decisions that's in the best interest of their community. And all of that will be pushed our way so that we can take these things off his plate so he can indeed rest. His vision, as I told a group this morning, we have a call during Ramadan early in the morning before the sun comes up for our reading. And on the call this morning was 880 people.
Mm.
And we told them this morning that it's a matter of us taking the responsibility and helping him. The way we help him is take on the responsibility and make sure there's some continuity in how the Nation of Islam moves. Our thrust has been our people. We must maintain that. We must not get hung up in other things. And one of his things that I mentioned is that his vision, his hope, if God allows him to stay with us, is that in 2007, February, that he can address the whole nation at our annual convention.
And one of the people that one person out here that's gone through and is going through a similar type of adjustment and a similar type of the world looking at and waiting in bated breath to see what happens is Fidel Castro.
Yes.
Minister Farrakhan made a comparison in his letter between what the world was saying about Fidel and what he wanted to say about himself.
Right. Very interesting. Liz, when we were in Cuba on this last trip, the thing that touched me now, the reason we went to Cuba is because at the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, he announced these ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And if those who can go back and look at his speech that day, it wasn't the typical Minister Farrakhan. It was a programmatic speech. He was talking about things that we have to implement, things we have to put in place. And he's the one that announced it, but the responsibility to make it happen are those who are his followers and those who are sympathizers with what his cause represents. So he said that I have to go to countries in the world that the basis of those governments is service of their people. Most governments say that, but it's not really. It's the accumulation of capital,
mm-hmm.
wealth, looking out for the rich,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that there's more wealth. The reason that we're involved in this war in Iraq right now is because some wealthy people in America wanted more wealth. Their greed and to control the oil and play with us like we're yo-yos. Oil prices up, oil prices down. They go up and down. An election is coming now, so they found a way to drop the gas prices down as far as they could bring
absolutely.
Them down.
And absolutely.
Right after this election.
Done. They're going right back.
Going back right. And playing ping pong with us. So he wanted to look for governments that represented service to the people. So he thought of Cuba, number one, 47 years under the shadow of America, but yet and still they have survived and maintained their integrity as a socialist country, that our thing is about sharing wealth with our people, and those of us who have degrees and dexterities of doctors, professional people, not how to go after the money where you get the biggest buck, but what are the needs of the masses of people that we can use our skills to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched in this trip to Cuba that touched us all, because the minister was describing Fidel. Now, you know, he's a communist, so he has no religious preference.
Mm-hmm.
But yet and still the minister showed him that he was more religious than the people who preach religion.
Mm.
Because all that they say, you know, to care for the poor, feeding the hunger in the day of need, all of the scriptures of the Bible that talks about what Jesus would do for his people, you know, making the blind to see. Fidel has this Operation Miracle where he removes cataracts. And they have, I mean, what we saw in Cuba was unbelievable. But he was taking blind people. One man from Grenada had been blind for 15 years.
Wow.
Never saw his granddaughter.
Wow.
And they removed the cataracts, and he saw his granddaughter.
Mm.
So the minister was...